This is Doug Miller. What has sin done to us and to the world we live in? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back once more with the Word of God in hand. And we're in the book of Acts. We're going to begin with the third chapter today with verse 1. And I think the question that I asked at the outset is very important, very critical to all of us. And I think we're going to see some of the answer to this in this passage we're going to be looking at. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to chapter 3 of Acts, verse 1. Call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue comes to you every week this morning through the auspices of Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it. And for that, we are utterly dependent on you, our listeners. You are the ones that are keeping us in business. And as long as you are out there listening and supporting Dialogue, we will go on by the grace of God. So, as I said at the outset, call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. You're the only advertisers we have, and you're the only advertisers we're going to have. Now, we would love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue Ministries, in Dialogue or Dialogue Ministries, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you missed that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. So keep your writing materials handy. And let's see what else I can tell you. You might want to pull up our webpage, our Dialogue webpage, and look at it to learn a little bit more about Dialogue. I've got some of the broadcasts on there that you can pull up and listen to. DialogueMinistries.org. That's DialogueMinistries.org. And also, as I've been telling you, write down April 16, put that on your calendar. We would love to see you down at Camp Klassen in the Arbuckle Mountains for that one-day seminar. It's on a Saturday. Mark Hitchcock and I will be ministering on the subject, Are We Living in the End Days? I think you need to be here for this one. So write that down. All right. Let's see now. We are living, in case you haven't realized it, in very difficult times. We are not living in times that are more difficult, perhaps, than others, but we are living in interesting times in that time is running out for us. We are ending. The age of grace that we are living in, this church age, is ending. It's coming to an end. And as we get on toward the end, Paul, you know, writing to Timothy, said in the end times, perilous times will come. And he lists things that will happen. People will be lovers of themselves, not lovers of God. They'll be disobedient, unthankful. He talks about them in another place in this same letter to Timothy, saying that they will. The time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. People who will tickle their ears, who will make them feel good. They will not want to hear the truth. You know, I think maybe that's where we are right now. I know that you've heard me say it many times here on Dialogue, but I tell you the truth. It is not easy sometimes to have to say some of the things I have to say on this broadcast, because it is so much easier to tickle people's ears, to tell them what they want to hear, and not to tell the truth. But I just can't do that. I just can't do that. I'd sooner go off the air than to do that. Now listen, sin has its consequences. It has its results. And look around you today, and you're going to see the results. Death, misery, hatred, violence, governments breaking down, countries breaking down, people wanting to, you know, blow one another up. We've got terrorism, we've got murder, we've got everything that could go wrong seems to be going wrong. And our politicians and others who are out there trying to straighten all of this out are trying everything but the thing that will actually work. And that thing, friend, is to understand something of what got us into this mess in the first place. Now, I've got a friend who likes to say, and he's right, it's always been this way. We've always had these problems. Yes, he's right. We have always had these problems. Yes, since the Garden of Eden, men have been rolling along, murdering, killing, hating, and, you know. And yet, it is becoming more intense. Why? Because there are more of us. Our population is growing. Our world is becoming more crowded. And we are living in times that are really quite desperate. And the politicians just don't get this. I don't care how many laws you pass. I don't care what sort of budget you float out there. I don't care for 1 minute what you do of a worldly nature to make things better. Things are not going to get better. And they're not going to get better unless and until we understand the root cause of the problem. The root cause, we are in rebellion against God. We are in sin. And as long as God is pushed out and shut out and men don't want to talk about God and don't want to talk about the real problem, the sin, and wish to delude themselves with the silly notion that, you know, things, people are basically good. All you've got to do is get the right system in place and everything will just be Jim Dandy. Well, this is an absolute lie out of the pit. Now, you might say, okay, Miller, fine, but what's this got to do with Acts 3, verse 1, and the story that's told here? Friends, it has everything to do with it. Let's take a look at it. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, or in other words, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was the what we would call 3 o'clock. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go up into the temple, asked an alms. All right. Let's just stop a minute and let's look at this. Here we have, and once again we are looking at the history of the early church. We are looking at a history which contains many things that we don't see going on in the world today. God is not always working in exactly the same way. And as you've heard me say before, we are in very much a transitional period here. God, in his programs and in his the way he deals with men, is transisting, as it were, into a change in the way he is dealing with people. We are moving out of the dispensation of law and into the dispensation of grace. And if you don't understand these things, if you don't believe in dispensationalism, if you're in a church that doesn't teach this, or under the pastoring of an individual who does not and will not teach this, I'll pray for you. Because you have to understand dispensationalism to understand this. As we are going through time here, there was no sign stuck up in the sand somewhere around Jerusalem that says, attention, attention, you are now moving out of the dispensation of law and into the dispensation of grace. There was nothing like that. And the changeover still had many elements of the old dispensation in it. And there are things going on in Acts that you have to understand in that way. Now, here we have Peter and John. They're going up to the temple to pray. These men were still very much involved in Judaism. They were Orthodox Jews, and they were still thinking in these terms. They did not understand what God was doing with regard to the church. As you've heard me say before, they won't get that, and they won't understand it until Paul comes along, because the church is Paul's doctrine, and he is the one, the apostle to the Gentiles, whom God used to get this truth out there. Peter says himself that he's an apostle to the Jews, to Israel. And his ministry and the ministry of John and the other 12 apostles was very much to Jews and to Jerusalem. And here they are going up to the temple to do what good Jews do. Now, you know, I'm a Gentile. Had I been alive then, I couldn't have gone up to the temple with them. I couldn't have gone into the temple, into the court of the Gentiles, but certainly there'd be many areas that would be closed out to me because I am a Gentile. But here they are going up to the temple. And isn't it interesting that as they are going in through the gate called Beautiful, they meet a man who also can't get into the temple. You know why he can't get into the temple? Because he was crippled from his mother's womb. And an individual who was in this condition under the Mosaic law was shut out. He could sit outside and be a beggar, and that's all that he could do. And that's what the law does for you. Now, let's look at some of the typical and typological teachings that we have in this. I said, what's the matter with the world today? What's the problem? It's sin, and that's exactly what we see in this man. Now, if you look back in the 9th chapter of John, you will find the apostles following Jesus, and they encounter a man who was born blind. Well, here's a man who was born lame. The apostles said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born this way? They immediately associated his blindness with some sin that either he or his parents had committed. Well, that's not totally out of the question, because back in the 5th chapter of John, we meet a lame man laying in the porch at Bethesda where the pools of water were, and he very clearly was lame because of some sin that he had done. The Lord makes this clear before that chapter is over. But in the case of the man in the 9th chapter, Jesus said that neither this man nor his parents have caused this condition. This condition is here so that God might be glorified. But now there is a larger sense in which all sin, all lameness, sickness, evil, ill, and ultimately death has come on the human race because of sin. Now, this man was born in this condition. And friends, I want to tell you something. Those of you who are listening to me, you needn't begin thinking, well, I'm not a sinner. I don't sin. Of course you sin. And even if you didn't sin, the Bible teaches very clearly in the 5th chapter of Romans that death has come upon all men because we were all born into sin because of the sin of our father Adam. Now, if you say, well, that's not fair, why should I be blamed for something I didn't do? Friends, you're blamed for something you have done. All you have done in your life is a clear indicator that you were born in sin, in the line of Adam, because you are a sinner both by nature and by practice. Now, you might say, well, what about you, Miller? Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm a sinner by nature and by practice. I'm probably worse than a lot of you who are listening to me. But where does that leave us? That leaves us as sinners on the outside looking in, just as this man was on the day that Peter and John passed by him going into the temple through the beautiful gate. Now, the temple was the house of God and is a picture of the place where God dwells. Don't worry about that too much anymore. There is no temple made by men that God dwells in now. The temple was long ago torn down and destroyed in 70 A.D. The temple will be rebuilt again by Antichrist, but God won't be in it. Antichrist will be. And finally, ultimately, Jesus, the Messiah, will rebuild the temple on the mount, and God will dwell in that one during the great and notable period that we call the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Messiah on this earth. But that's all out in the future. The picture that we have in the third chapter of Acts here is this, that we have a man born lame from his mother's womb, and because of his condition, shut out from the presence of God. Now, friends, does that speak to any of you? Does that say anything to any of you? Well, let me tell you what it should say. If you are have never been saved, if you are yet in your sins, you're shut out from the presence of God. You're on the outside looking in, just like this man was. This man was outside the beautiful gate, outside the temple, and he was a wretched, crippled beggar. And spiritually, that's exactly where all of unsaved mankind are. All on the outside, wretched, miserable, blind, naked, and shut off from the glory and the presence of God. And I don't care what they are in and of themselves or in and of the flesh, that's exactly their condition. And if you've never been saved, friend, that's your condition. Now look at this man. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know what Peter and John are going to do. All he's looking for is another handout so that he can go on from day to day and exist somehow. Well, a friend of mine used to say this man didn't need a handout. He needed legs so that he could get out and make his own way. Now, there's another lesson for us here. There are a lot of people out there today in our world who, for whatever reason, are living hand-to-mouth on some kind of welfare. What a perfect picture here. Perfect picture. Friend, you don't need another welfare check. You need to be able to support and to take care of yourself. And this friend of mine used to say, and I don't think he's the originator of this, but, you know, you give a man a fish, you've given him a meal. You get him a fishing pole and teach him how to fish, and you've given him a meal for the rest of his life. He can make his own way. Think of the shame that we've got here. Look at what sin results in. Sin that leaves people scarred and crippled and naked and broken. Sin that leaves people on the outside looking in. Sin that shuts people away from Almighty God. Sin that is so ravaged and so torn up and hurt the world we're living in, this beautiful world God created and pronounced good. Take a look at it and just tell me what you see. It's sad. Well, we read in verse 4 here, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. That's all. And Peter promptly bursts his bubble. I can just imagine the disappointment at, the first part of what Peter said. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Haven't got anything. If you were looking for some money or a coin in your little cup there or whatever you're toting there or some handout, I haven't got anything. In that way, I'm as broke as you are. But look at this. "Such as I have, give I thee." But I've got something. I've got the real answer to your problems, brother. You look up here at me. I'm getting ready to tell you something. I'm not going to give you a handout. I'm going to give you your legs back. Look at this. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, man, what a picture this is. This man, and for those of you who, you know, you believe in faith healing and these faith healers and these individuals who, I'm sorry to tell you something. I have been around. I've been around the block a few times. I've been all over this world. I've been in a lot of societies and in a lot of places. I have been in churches all over this world. I've been in tents, tabernacles, you name it. I have never seen anything like this. I've seen a lot of people who claim to heal by faith, but I want you to look at this man. I've never seen anything like this. And if you have, well, you're different than I am. He leaped up. And it wasn't just, you know, some weak stumbling along. Here's a man who had never walked in his life. He had no strength in his ankles at all. He was a cripple. Now, I want to tell you something. I've been through physical rehab before, and it is a slow process to get your muscles back and to get your strength back and to be able to use your limbs again. I've, you know, had a rotator cuff torn. It's a painful mess. This man didn't need any rehabilitation. He leaped up and was praising God and walking and leaping and rushed into the temple. And this man, who was on the outside looking in, is not on the outside any longer. I've been introduced to the Father and the Son, and I am no stranger now, crying holy to the Lord. This man leaped up and rushed into the temple, praising God. And we read that all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. You know, you may have heard me say this on here before, but I had a cousin. He's gone home to be with the Lord. This man was bad news. He was as no good an individual, probably as I ever knew, as just humanly speaking. He was just no good. And that man, really as a result of his daughter's conversion, his daughter got saved. And he saw the change in her, and she began witnessing to him and telling him about the Lord and salvation by grace through faith. This man got saved. And later on, one of my uncles said to me, "I never saw a man change so much in my life. I wouldn't have believed it." Now, this uncle of mine said, "I don't know what you think or what anyone wants to believe, but the Lord got hold of him, and that man's life was changed." Let me tell you something. Look at this man leaping and praising God. He has become a true worshiper now in the inner sanctum, not shut out anymore. Some of you who are listening to me, you need to listen to me very closely. You're on the outside looking in. In the name of Jesus Christ, who died for you, will you receive him as your Savior and be saved? I pray you will. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.